The minds of the everlasting gods don't change so quickly. So the two of them stood there, wrangling back and forth, till the armies sprang up, their armor clashing, ungodly uproar. Two plans split the ranks. That night we barely slept, seething with hard feelings against our own comrades, for Zeus was brooding over us, poised to seal our doom. At dawn, half of us hauled our vessels down to sea. We stowed our plunder, our sashed and lovely women. But half the men held back, camped on the beach, waiting it out for Agamemnon's next commands. While our contingent embarked, we pushed off and sailed at a fast clip as a god smoothed out the huge, chuffing swells. We reached Tenedos quickly, sacrificed to the gods, the crews keen for home, but a quick return was not in Zeus's plans, not yet. That cruel power loosed a cursed feud on us once again. Some swung their rolling warships hard about. Odysseus sailed them back, the flexible, wily king, veering over to Agamemnon now to shore his fortunes up. Not I. Massing the ships that came in my flotilla, I sped away as the gods' mischief kept on brewing, dawning on me now. And Tydeus's fighting son, Diomedes, fled too, rousing all his comrades. Late in the day the red-haired Menelaus joined us, overtook us at Lesbos, debating the long route home, whether to head north over the top of rocky Chios, skirting Psyrii, keeping that island off to port, or run south of Chios by Mimas' gusty cape. We asked the god for a sign. He showed us one. He urged us to cut out on the middle passage, straight to Euboea now. Escape a catastrophe, fast as we could sail. A shrilling wind came up, stiff, driving us on, and on we raced over the sea lanes rife with fish, and we made Eurystheus Point in the dead of night. Many thighs of bulls we offered for side, and there, thank God, we'd crossed that endless reach of sea. Then on the fourth day out, the crews of Diomedes, breaker of horses, moored their balanced ships at Argos port. But I held course for Pylos, yes, and never once did the good strong wind go limp from the first day the god unleashed its blast. And so, dear boy, I made it home from Troy in total ignorance, knowing nothing of their fates, the ones who stayed behind, who escaped with their lives and who went down. But all I've gathered by hearsay, sitting here in my own house, that you'll learn it's only right. I'll hide nothing now. They say the Myrmidons, those savage spearmen led by the shining son of lion-hearted Achilles, travelled home unharmed. Philoctetes, the gallant son of Poeas, safe as well. Idomeneus brought his whole contingent back to Crete, all who'd escaped the war. The sea snatched none from him. But Atreus' son, Agamemnon, you yourselves, even in far-off Ithaca, must have heard how he returned, how Aegisthus hatched the king's horrendous death, but what a price he paid in blood, in suffering. Oh, how fine it is when a man is brought down to leave a son behind. Orestes took revenge. He killed that cunning murderous Aegisthus who'd killed his famous father. And you, my friend, how tall and handsome I see you now. Be brave, you too. So men to come will sing.